Dale and Margaret asked me about a month ago if I would preach. They said they asked several other people, but all the other Brethren in Christ pastors are gone to conference this weekend too, so all the substitutes are taken, so you get me. I titled today's message, Leaving a Legacy. Most of you know that my parents both recently passed away, and I've been thinking about what they've meant to me and what legacy they left me, and I chose Psalm 16 because of verse 6 in the King James. It says, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And heritage means inheritance or legacy. I looked up legacy in the Webster's Dictionary, and it means an inheritance, something that has come from an ancestor or predecessor or the past. And that made me think that now that my parents are gone, they're ancestors. That's a different perspective for me to think of my parents as ancestors. A legacy or an inheritance can be many different things. It can be monetary or possessions or even intangibles. And all of us have a legacy from our parents. All of us are leaving a legacy of one sort or another, even if we don't have family of our own. My parents left me a great legacy. It wasn't monetary or possessions. They had a few things. They had some money in savings, and they have a house that we're trying to sell, and we'll get the money from that. But mostly they gave me just a really godly home. And I just wanted to share with you a few of the things that I said at their memorial services, because none of you were able to be there because they were in Denver. So my dad was Jim Amond, and he was just an ordinary guy. He wasn't famous for anything. He was born in a small town in Wyoming and lived there most of his life until he was a junior in high school. He lived the small town life, which we all know. I think where he grew up was even smaller than Abilene. So he played sports, and he really enjoyed them his whole life. And then when he was in high school, his dad got a job in Ogden, Utah, so they moved to Ogden, Utah, so he spent his last 2 years in high school in Utah. So if you can imagine your last couple of years in high school, going to a totally new city, but he did that, and he made good friends in the short time that he was there. And then after school, he went to the Army, and he rose to the rank of a corporal. But, you know, just being an ordinary guy, he wasn't an officer or anything. So he often told us stories of the good times he had while he was stationed in Germany after World War II. He wasn't old enough to be in World War II, but he joined the Army right afterwards, and he spent time over there a couple of years in Germany with the occupation forces, and he told us a lot of stories. So after that, he went to college. He went to University of Colorado in Boulder, Colorado, and he went there for a couple of years, and then he was called back into the Army for the Korean War. And during that time that he was in Denver, he met my mom. And when he got called back into the Army, he got stationed in Tacoma, Washington. So he came back for, he had a 3-day pass, came back to Denver the 1st of December, married my mom, and then went back to Tacoma. And then, so my mom moved there with him. And so after he got back out of the Army, they went back to the Denver area, to Boulder, and he finished school there in Colorado. And then they bought a house in the Denver area, the house where I grew up in, and it was 2 blocks from Denver Stapleton Airport. So we had lots of noisy planes over our house all the time, but we didn't hardly notice it because we lived there. But whenever we had guests, they always complained about the noise and couldn't sleep at night. And didn't bother us at all. So they had children. They had their firstborn daughter died when she was 3 years old. She got pneumonia and died. And they had her and my other sister at that time. And then I was born a year after my first sister died, so I never knew her. And then I have another younger sister, too. And then mom's last baby was stillborn. So they lost 2 children, but they made it through it. My dad worked hard. He was a medical technologist, and he got, I think they can't hear me. Might need to turn it up a little bit. My dad was a medical technologist, and he got into research at a hospital there, and they were doing research on transplants. And so he got to help the doctor who did some of the first successful liver transplants. And he got an award 1 year for being medical technologist of the year. And that was the biggest deal that he did. If you weren't in the medical field, you never knew that he got this award. But I mean, it was a big deal for those people, but for most of the rest of the world, nobody knew that he got that award. So, he worked very hard to support his family and give us a good life. He was active in the church. He made sure that we got, us children got a good spiritual background. We always ate supper together for as long as I grew up. And afterwards, we would have family devotions. Usually, he read the daily bread to us. So, and he gave us kids a lot of love. He didn't touch people's lives in a big way, but he was always very friendly. He was always there as a friend. A lot of people told me how he helped them just by being there for them. And he really loved my mom. And in this day and age where marriages don't last very long, he and my mom were married for 63 years, almost 63 years before he died. And I know a lot of you guys have in this church have been together a long time, so it's not that unusual in this church, but in this country as a whole, it is. My dad was an ordinary guy, but he was an extraordinary father. I thought he was the best that I could imagine. And then my mom, she died 6 months later, last May. She was born here in Kansas, in northeast Kansas, in a little community called Bern. It's, if you know where Sabetha is, it's north of Sabetha. Then when she was like middle school age, sixth or seventh grade, they moved to Illinois. My grandfather got a job in Illinois, and so she finished high school there. And she went to secretarial school, and then she got a job in Chicago, Illinois. And she grew up in a farming community and small towns, and so she made a leap of faith and went to Chicago and applied at United Airlines, and they hired her right on the spot. And so here she was living in a big city of Chicago, and she was like that. She wasn't afraid to take a chance. She would step out in faith. And then while she was working for United, she got transferred to Denver, and so that's where she met my dad. And like I said, they got married when he was on a 3-day pass from Tacoma, Washington. So she moved to Tacoma and spent a few years there, and then moved back to Boulder, and then finally in Aurora is where I grew up. And she raised a family, and about the time I started school, she went back to work. But none of us kids felt like, you know, we didn't have a mother. She was always there. She always made us supper and breakfast, and we didn't feel deprived of having a mother because she was working. But she was a very loving and kind lady. She did a lot of work in the church. She loved babies, so she worked in the nursery in the church back there every Sunday for about 25 years. And she was a deaconess, and she was very special to all of our lives. It was really hard when Mom went, but now she's with my dad, and that's what she wanted, and so we're happy for her. And I've said several times that there's no one I am more sure of being in heaven than my mother. She trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she lived out that life trying to please God, and just was the quintessential mother, quintessential mom. She was just a good example. The legacy my parents gave me was not in monetary wealth or possessions, but they gave me love and acceptance and generosity and humor and support. And mostly they showed me what God's love looks like. My parents sacrificed a lot for us kids. They put us all through college, and they just did so much for us, and they were loving and giving, and they would have people over for dinner, and we just had a really great life. So I am very glad for the legacy and the heritage that I got from my parents. And that verse in Psalm 16, chapter 16, verse 6, says, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage." That really applies to my life. So I was just gonna share that with you, because I know you weren't able to be at the memorial service, and I just wanted to share what my parents left for me and my sisters. But I also wanted to do kind of a sermon too, so we're going to look at some biblical legacies. So I'm going to be going through the Bible here pretty quickly. The first ones I thought of were Abraham, and there's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham's legacy or his inheritance was given to him directly from God. If you want, I'm going to be reading from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and I will go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" So God promised Abraham to make him into a great nation, and it took a while for that to happen. It didn't happen in Abraham's lifetime, but he promised that all the peoples on earth would be blessed through Abraham. So that's quite a legacy to leave to people. And that same promise was passed on to his son Isaac. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 2 through 4, it says, "The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. For you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws.'" So Isaac, Abraham's son, got the same promise from God that God gave to Abraham, that he would get the land where he was living, and his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and sand on the sea, and through his offspring, all nations in the world would be blessed. And then one of Isaac's sons was Jacob, and Jacob was the one who inherited the blessing. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 13 through 15, it says, "There above it stood the Lord, and he said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are living. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east, west and to the east, to the north and south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.'" So we can see that Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob all got the same promise. They got the same promise of the land, and that they would have many descendants, and that all the peoples on earth would be blessed through them. That's a pretty good legacy if you can have all the peoples on earth be blessed through you and your descendants. The next person in the Bible I want to talk about their legacy is King David. David became king of the nation Israel after the first king, Saul, messed up, and God got mad at him and said he wouldn't be allowed to continue the kingdom. But David did what was right in God's eyes, and God gave him a promise. And that's found in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. "And the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. So God promised David that his throne would be established forever. And actually, the promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the promise to David were fulfilled in the same person. That was the person of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is a direct offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and also an offspring of King David. And all the world has been blessed by the sacrifice of Jesus. And Jesus has not yet claimed the throne of David, but he will when he comes back, and he will have that forever. And then I wanted to do a different kind of legacy. I thought, since Pastor's going through Timothy, I thought, well, Timothy is a good one to talk about his legacy. So I might be stealing a little of Pastor Dale's thunder, but you'll probably forget all this by the time we get to 2 Timothy anyway. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So you can see from this passage that Timothy had a godly grandmother and a godly mother. And during Sunday school this morning, we found out that his mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek. He got his faith from his godly grandmother and mother. They passed on their faith to him. And also Timothy got a legacy from Paul himself. In 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 14, it says, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with the faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So Paul gave Timothy a deposit in his life, and then he told him to keep that deposit and to fan it into flame, the gift of God that he received. So Timothy had a good legacy also. And it's, I think the legacy that Timothy got is something that we can pass on ourselves as Christians. We can pass on our faith. We can pass on our devotion to God and the love of Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit's help to do all these things. So I think as Christians, we also have a legacy or an inheritance. What we read as the responsive reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So our inheritance will never fade away. As Christians, we have an inheritance in heaven that will never fade. And the difference between our inheritance and a normal inheritance, normally you receive an inheritance after someone dies and leaves you an inheritance. But as Christians, we get our inheritance after we die. And so it's kind of backwards from what the world thinks of as an inheritance. But that's the inheritance that we have as Christians. We have heaven waiting for us. So you will leave a legacy. It will either be a good legacy or a bad legacy. And I urge you to strive to make it a good one. In Proverbs 13:22, it says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." So many of you are getting to the point in your life where you're thinking about leaving an inheritance. And you can be leaving a legacy even now as you pray for your children and your grandchildren. And if those of you that are too young to have children or grandchildren yet, you can be thinking about the legacy that you'll be leaving them. And you all have left a legacy with me as well, just by being part of my life, and I, a part of your life, have left a legacy with you. Each one of us influences those around us, whether we want to or not. We don't really have a choice. We influence each other. So I urge you, as Paul urged Timothy, to fan the flame of the gift of God that is in you, that you have received from him. So that's all I have for today. We will be closing with hymn number 403. It's "How Firm a Foundation." So would you please rise as we sing number 403.